There's a little more coming.
You want me to turn it off?
Yeah. I didn't bring my glasses, so. Vatsitavakadakana bodhiyantis parasparam Patayanas tamam nityam Tushyanticha ramanticha. Krishna says in the nutshell verses of Bhagavad Gita in the 10th chapter, the thoughts of my devotees dwell always in me. Their thoughts and talks are all dedicated to my service, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss by enlightening one another and conversing about me. This is a very important and profound topic to consider as we endeavor to maintain our enthusiasm and develop our taste and hankering for Krishna's service over the long period of time, or short period of time, however long we have in this body. The thing that will sustain us in our devotional service is taste. And Krishna tells us how to achieve and cultivate that taste in the 9th verse of the 10th chapter. By coming together, congregating, harmonizing on the one factor that we all share in common, and that is that we all come from Krishna. In this material world, there's so much conflict that the whole conflagration is labeled samsara, like a blazing forest fire. Nobody wants the fire. But it blazes forth because of friction. And Srila Prabhupada uses the analogy of bamboo stalks rubbing together in the wind, causing friction. The analogy being that the unlimited jivas in the material world, with their unlimited conflicts based on false ego, the symptom of which is self-interest, selfishness, separate desire, causes conflict. They unite together for some time for some common purpose, but common purposes don't last unless they're spiritual by nature, because everything in the temporal world is always changing. The only thing that's consistent is our true identity, the Jivaraswarupoi Krishna Nityadas. We are, by nature, the eternally servant of Krishna. And when we come together and unite together, enlightening one another by conversing about Krishna, then tushyanticha ramanticha, so much satisfaction, so much bliss from that taste. That taste is sweet, because sweetness is the taste of harmony, in contrast to bitterness, which is the taste of conflict. And what is the essence of that sweetness? It's Krishna who's attracted by harmony. He's attracted when the devotees are working cooperatively in his service, which is the only harmonizing factor in all of existence. So of all times of the year, the season glorified as Kartik is especially sweet, because it is the season, it is the month of Radha Damodara, the king of all months, whose presiding goddess is Srimati Radhika herself, preceding the month of Krishna. And this month is especially potent for making advancement in devotional service, because it is especially favored and blessed being under the direct supervision of Srimati Radha herself. And in this special month of Kartik, so many wonderful, resplendent pastimes the Lord revealed. This is the month when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Vrindavan. This is the month that Krishna returned to Vrindavan from Dwarka. It is the month that Srila Prabhupada chose to enter into the Nitya Lila. It is the month when Krishna showed, revealed to the world, the shortcomings of the utilitarian principle of working together for the basis, on the basis of the common good, for which the Brijavasis were worshipping Indra. But Krishna wanted to show that higher than the common good is the spiritual welfare. And to sacrifice all other principles for that higher principle is the duty of the devotees. And they will forsake all other principles for Krishna's pleasure, even if neglecting other duties may result in the destruction of the world, which it should have happened when Indra, with his Samvartika clouds, which are solely meant for the dissolution of the universe, were all ordered to concentrate their full destructive fury on the little town of Vrindavan, where nobody even had umbrellas, or to speak of air force and military to defend themselves. And Krishna did not meet Indra in the sky to defeat him in glorious warfare, which would still have fueled his false ego, but with the little finger of his left hand, he defied through all the wrath and fury of the insulted demigod and showed his devotees where our ultimate and only shelter really lies. And for that whole week, as the storm raged, which terrorized the whole universe, except for the Brijavasis, who were so immersed in the sweetness of being in each other's association for 1 week continuously, day and night. Nobody had to go home. There's no homes to go home to. Nobody snapped. Nobody was concerned with eating. Nobody cared that it was even, to know if it was even raining, because they were all simply immersed in watching Krishna lift the hill, hold the hill, and these sweet, loving interactions continuing for that week created a storm of its own, with waves of emotion which swept away the devotees' minds and hearts from all concerns of this mortal realm. And in the heart of the month of Kartik, on the dark moon night, which is meant for internal illumination by the offering of lamps, Deepavali, symbolic. What do lamps symbolize? Lighting your path, welcoming a friend, offering some warmth and encouragement and hospitality. That was the special day when Mother Jashoda got up early to start the day by churning butter for Krishna's pleasure. That butter she churned was made from the milk of those 8 very special cows, most prominent in Nanda Maharaj's herd, as being reserved solely for the purpose of giving Krishna the sweetest milk, for which Mother Jashoda personally supervised and grew the finest grasses, which she personally with her own hands fed to those cows, which she personally milked. That was the sweetest and best of all the milk from all Nanda Maharaj's cows. And Mother Jashoda was so attentive to the very personal, loving, affectionate care of her son that she personally churned that butter. And Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas have mentioned how contemplating the features of Mother Jashoda as she was churning that butter will awaken her own affection for Krishna. And as her bangles and her earrings and her songs about Krishna's charming childhood pastimes drifted into the atmosphere, purifying everything, Krishna awoke to the sound. And he came, and he saw her churning butter. But he was more interested in her milk. So he started pulling on her sari, indicating that, "I'm hungry." And she just kept churning because she knew he's hungry. And he kept pulling on her sari, "No, I want your milk." And she was churning the butter that this is the best milk. And he was pulling on her sari that, "I want you." And she was churning the butter because it was his service. Her service to him. Finally, he just grabbed the churning rod and stopped her to indicate that you have no equally or more important service than to tend to my pleasure. And then she began to breastfeed child Krishna, while the milk on the stove was being heated. That special milk from those special cows fed that special Padmagandha grass. But in the spiritual world, everything is personal, everything is cognizant, is Krishna conscious. So that milk was contemplating that I'm being boiled to be offered to Krishna for his pleasure, but Krishna is drinking Mother Jashoda's milk. And therefore, he has no interest in me. So, if I can't be of service to Krishna, my life is useless. So the milk jumped out of the pot and into the fire to commit suicide. And then Mother Jashoda was so alarmed, she jumped up to save the life of the milk. And then Krishna was feeling neglected. See how personal is devotional service. Krishna does not want that we become mechanical in our services. We must remember that everything regarding devotional service is very personal. meant to be dealt with utmost care and attention and affection, including and even especially the service of the devotees, which is not what did Yashoda put Krishna down to tend to the milk. It was the devotee. When Krishna felt neglected, and he became angry, and he broke the pot, and then he knew he was in trouble, so he ran away. Mother Yashoda, after saving the milk, came back to continue feeding Krishna, and he was gone. The butter pot was broken, and there was butter footprints leading into the other room. So as Srila Prabhupada translated and commented, and this is one of the last, probably the last complete pastime that he translated and commented upon, just as he was preparing to return to his eternal home, which he mentioned as being Radha Damodar's mandir. So, as Srila Prabhupada said, like a detective, Mother Yashoda, when she saw the butter footprints, she knew this is the work of Krishna, and like a detective, she followed the footprints into the other room, where she found Krishna sitting upon the mortar, hand-feeding the monkeys. And Krishna was thinking that these monkeys, they sacrifice so much in Ram Lila. I mean, if you read about the battle in Lanka, especially when the giant Kumbhakarna was aroused before his proper, appropriate time of awakening, and he was in a bad mood to begin with. And then he asked, who wants to forfeit their lives prematurely? He said, those monkeys, that Ram. And then, so be it. And when he arose from his year-long slumber, was awakened too early, and the monkeys saw that towering form of Kumbhakarna looming high over these skyscrapers of Lanka, they were so terrorized, they ran for their lives, and the monkey chieftains had to gather them and regroup them and send them back, and Kumbhakarna was just scooping them up with his huge hands and stuffing them down his throat, forcing them in so much that the squished monkeys were just oozing out his ears and nose, and the others were just so horrified. And so many of those monkeys had to give up their lives in this ghastly manner. Of course, they were all brought back to life after the battle, but nevertheless, they sacrificed tremendously. And Lord Ram was lamenting that I could not reciprocate because I was living as an ascetic in the forest. So Krishna was thinking, I'm living in the palace of Nanda Maharaj, and we have so much butter. So he's personally feeding the monkeys and receiving that butter from his lotus hands. They were just jumping and dancing around the courtyard. And whatever fell from their hands, the crows were gathering up. And then all of a sudden, the crows took off, and the monkeys started running. And Krishna looked at his mother's shoulder, and she had a stick. And then Krishna, who is feared by fear personified, who is the Lord and Master of Yamaraj, who had no fear whatsoever of Kamsa and all the great demons, who were actually the worst demons of all the universe, had gathered together on earth for a convention at that time, Krishna Lila. It was the worst demons in all the universe who were assisting Kamsa in his attacks on Braj to kill that child who he feared to be the cause of his impending death. Krishna had no fear whatsoever of Kamsa and all his army of Rakshasas, but he's running in fear of Mother Yashoda. His heart is pounding, his breathing is quick, and false tears are flowing from his eyes. And even such great souls as Kunti Maharani and Bhishma, and in Chaitanya Lila, Kolavet Sridhar, they're pondering this wonder, how Krishna is running in fear from Mother Yashoda. And as she was running, and the acharyas continue to say, by contemplating her features, our own love for Krishna will awaken. She was running, and she couldn't catch him, but she was very determined. And the flowers were falling from her hair for various reasons. Some were thinking, Mother Yashoda has a stick, and she's chasing Krishna, and she wants to punish him. We don't want to be part of this. So they were just dropping off. Others were thinking, Mother Yashoda is so glorious, what are we doing on her head? We should be at her feet. And they were jumping down. Others were thinking, she can't catch Krishna, she must be too heavy, so we'll lighten the load. And they were jumping off. And she was perspiring, and her perspiration was like the golden essence of her prem, decorating her body with this glittering luster. And Krishna's running, and she's chasing, and finally she caught him. And then Krishna knew he was in great trouble. So he was praying, Nanda Maharaj, please appear right now and save me from Mother Yashoda. And she was threatening with that stick. She could never hurt Krishna, but she was... And he confessed, Mata, I did it. Just like a common criminal brought before a judge, seeking mercy by confessing, I did it. Don't hit me. And she said, Krishna, there is so much butter in our household. Why do you have to steal from others' houses? Put down that stick and I'll tell you. And then she saw she's scaring Krishna, so she put down the stick. And then Krishna was looking at Mother Yashoda. I did it. And he's crying and he's turning to cowherd boys and smiling like. And he turned back to Mother Yashoda and cried and turned to the cowherd boys and smiling. Turned to Mother Yashoda and turned to the... And then she thought, well, she had to finish making Krishna's breakfast, so she had to restrain him, because all the gopis were complaining that he was stealing butter from their houses. So she had to restrain him. So she tried to tie him. You know the story. She took every rope and brudge, which is a cowherd village where everybody has ropes. And when she tied one after another, until all the ropes were tied together, amounting to 1 or 2 kilometers in length, and could not encompass the belly of Krishna, which was, what, 1 foot or 1.5 feet? She was very determined. The 2 fingers too short of the rope that failed to encompass the abdomen of baby Krishna means to capture Krishna, to bind the Lord, requires a combination of our own endeavor Krishna's mercy. They go together. And when they came together, when Krishna saw that she was very determined and she was laboring so hard, he surrendered to being bound. And then she went back. She bound her to the grinding mortar because she considered that to be an accomplice in the crime, because that's what he would use to climb upon to poke holes in the butter pots. So she bound him and then left to return to her duties. And the cowherd boys came, Krishna, the cows won't give milk until you come. So you must come, but I'm bound. Try crawling. So he tried crawling, and he's dragging the butter pot. Then he saw the Arjun trees, and he remembered his devotee, Narada Muni. And he pulled down the trees, and you know the story. When the cowherd men came, then, because Arjuna trees, they are the most formidable. Even when there's a cyclone, the Arjuna trees, they don't fall. How do these trees fall? Is the earth offering obeisances in this manner to our lovable child Krishna? And then the cowherd boys, they were trying to untie Krishna, but they couldn't do it because their Sakyabhav was not as potent as the Vatsalya Bhav which had tied the knot. So they tried and tried, they couldn't untie Krishna. And Nanda Baba came along and he untied the knot because he had that Vatsalya Bhav. And then Krishna got in his lap. And then word came to Mother Yashoda that Krishna is crying because of this whole ordeal. And she was thinking, I put my child in harm's way. And she was running and crying and running. She just went into seclusion and was just crying. And then Rohini came and told Krishna that Mother Yashoda is so upset. Please go console her. And then Krishna jumped off Nanda Baba's lap and he was running, calling, Mata! And Mother Yashoda was, Gopal! And they ran and embraced. And he told her that formerly you were smiling and I was crying. Now I'm smiling and you're crying because this is reciprocal, this devotional service. But symbolically, what is it all about? Milk symbolizes affection, which flows in this relationship of love. And Krishna wants, and Srila Prabhupada also said at one time in our movement, it's time to boil the milk. Boiling the milk makes it condensed, sweeter. Churning the butter means bringing out the essence. The essence of the milk is the butter. And Krishna is glorified as the butter thief. And this means that he's very eager for our affection. His pastimes churn the milk. As loving relationships mature, it boils the milk, makes it condensed. And we glorify that thief, especially during this month. And for those who don't understand a religion which is based on glorifying a thief, you can consider Lovamangala Thakur, who was so determined that when time after time his senses fell prey to looking towards external beauty, he pierced his eyes in self-inflicted blindness to help him go internal. And then he walked from South India to Vrindavan blind, great determination. And that attracted the mercy of the Lord, who led him on the path to Vrindavan. And when he said, we're home now, I have to go see Mata. And Krishna was trying to break free from Lovamangala Thakur's grasp, and he's trying to hold on, and Krishna's trying to break free, and Krishna pulled away. And Lovamangala Thakur, you know, he said, you may free yourself from my grasp, but you can never extricate yourself from my heart. And then Lovamangala Thakur wrote 8 prayers in glorification of that thief, which beyond their poetic beauty are very meaningful. Because he said, he describes the different stages of Krishna's stealing. When he was a child, he stole butter. When he was a youth, he stole the garments of the gopis to reveal the inner beauty, which is the sporting ground for divine love. And for his devotees, he steals away Yasyaham Anigrahami Hariseta Gudamsan. Their homes, their family, their wealth, their name, their reputation, their security, everything, he takes it all. To show where our real treasure lies, where our real shelter is to be found. And very importantly, he steals away our karmic burden, which diminishes our strength and enthusiasm for devotional service. He steals it all away and sets us free from the bondage of this material world. Free from the illusions of mundane affection, free to enter into his realm of divine love forever, to serve harmoniously with like-minded souls who have true love for one another because they have bhakti for Krishna. So, Srila Rupa Goswami, in glorifying Srimati Radharani, whose blessings and service we especially seek, and whose pleasure we especially seek in Kartik. Kartik means, it's a name for Srimati Radharani, it means the daughter of Kartika, who is Kirtira. Srila Rupa Goswami has sung Damodara Rati Vardhana Vesha Hari Niskata Vrindavan Vinesha. Damodara Rati, she who increases affection for Damodar, attraction for Damodar, she also brings out the affection of Damodar. Because Krishna is aptakam. He has no desire to be fulfilled. But seeing her, he becomes full of desire. And what is her desire? That the devotees attain shelter in the holy land of Vrindavan. In Krishna, he removes all impediments on the path of the sincere devotees. When Raghunath Das Goswami, as a child, practically a child, youth, was continuously trying to run away from home, his mother told his father that, why don't you just bind him with chains? His father, who had a little bit more insight, said, what are chains going to do? How will that ever restrain him? He's been influenced by the love of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He already has a wife as beautiful as an angel, riches like that of Indra, our affection. The greatest bondage of the world cannot stop him. What will mere chains do? So when Raghunath Das Goswami left Bengal and walked to Jagannath Puri, actually living in the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, increased his hankering. Kartik is a time meant for increasing our hankering for Krishna. The pastimes of Mahaprabhu, of which he was an eyewitness, increased his hankering. Then when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left this world, the fire of separation threatening to consume him, Raghunath Das Goswami took shelter of Sri Swarupananda. But the separation from Mahaprabhu was too much, and Sri Damodar shortly thereafter also left this world. Raghunath Das Goswami took shelter of Gadadhar Pandit. But the fire of separation was consuming Gadadhar Pandit until he also left this world. And Raghunath Das Goswami has contemplated, I've lost the shelter of all my lords and masters. There's no purpose to my life. I might as well drown myself in the ocean. But why not drown myself in Jamuna? Or jump from Govardhan Hill and commit suicide in that way? So he walked to Vrindavan. And there the affection of Rupa and Sanatana made him feel that I still have the shelter of the Lord. The kindness, the affection they showed, the humility and forbearance of Sanatana Goswami altered his resolve and gave him purpose to live in it. But then when Sanatana Goswami also left this world, his only shelter was Rupa Goswami. When Rupa Goswami left this world, he was saying, all the personalities of whom I've taken shelter, like a series of columns, they've all collapsed, leaving me with no shelter. My only shelter now is Radhakund. But in the absence of these great souls, Radhakund is like the mouth of a tigress waiting to consume me. And Govardhan Hill, which was my shelter, is like a huge python waiting to devour me. And then his final prayer was, Srimati, if you do not give me your shelter now, I am finished. Where is Krishna to be found? Where is Krishna complete? Only with Srimati Radharani. And this month of Kartik is a very special and blessed occasion to achieve the favor of Srimati, who awards service of Krishna in his most complete aspect. If we think that we have attained the blessings of the Lord, then we've missed the fruit of Kartik. If our hankering is increasing and we're feeling more lowly and unqualified, and in that state of mind we're becoming more humble and developing in the qualities which Mahaprabhu emphasized of Trinadapi Sini Jaina Tororapi Suvishnuna Manida Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari, then we can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly, because there will be that taste. And when the devotees come together and nurture that taste for the sweetness of Krishna's pastimes, cultivating together that higher taste, that will protect us from the distractions and deviations of Maya. And it will nurture our devotional sentiments, and it will please Krishna. When Nanda Maharaj was listening to the cowherd men, after witnessing so many of Krishna's pastimes, how when he was just newborn infant, that wicked demoness Rakshasi Putana tried to kill him, and he sucked out her life. And when Trinavarta, as a whirlwind, came and took him up into the sky, he became so heavy he brought that demon down to his death. When Shakatashura assumed the form of a ghost, Krishna also liberated him from that subtle body. And one after another, these demons are coming to kill Krishna, but somehow or other, he's protected and saved every time. So how is it, the cowherd men were pondering, how is it, Nanda Maharaj, that we're feeling more and more and more affection for your son? And conversely, how is it that he's feeling more and more and more affection for us? We're not his parents. But he has equal affection for us as he does his real parents. His affection for us is increasing. Our affection for him is increasing. And what is fueling this increase in rati, in affection? It is talking about Krishna's pastimes. And what is that element that makes the devotee so enlivened, so inspired, so encouraged by coming together and conversing about him? Because it attracts him. What is it that attracts him? When devotees come together in harmony based on the one thing that we all have in common and will for eternity, that we all come from Krishna. And when we serve him, and that service begins with Shravanam Kirtanam. That creates a harmony, a sweetness, which enlivens our souls and is very empowering because it attracts Krishna. And that is the basis for loving relationships. Coming together, Matsita Makita Prana, Bodhayantas Parasparam, awakening one another, enlivening one another, Parasparam, that association. Katayanas Chamam Nityam, Tushyanti Chadamantica. So much pleasure, so much satisfaction in coming together, conversing about Krishna. And then all the superficial differences which cause so much conflict and disharmony in this world become like embellishments. The variegatedness of the spiritual world and the spiritual relationships. Then there can be true love, even between Jiva souls in this material world, if it's based on the spiritual principle of devotional service. Thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments?
I've heard a Vaishnava, for right now, consciousness of a Vaishnava, he's seeing everyone, all living beings, not just human beings, and first of all, people of all races, all genders, all nationalities, but then also animals, all living beings, anything with life, he's seeing as a soul, who's a servant of Krishna. But then not only that, I've heard a Vaishnava is supposed to be seeing that all these souls, ultimately, they're a better servant of Krishna than myself. So how is it, if we're all equals in the sense we're all part of Krishna, we're all servants of God, does a Vaishnava, he's seeing others as being better than him? I'm kind of trouble understanding this, that I heard this, how Vaishnava's seeing people.
That's the genuine humility of the Uttama Adhikari, that he sees the spiritual principle that everyone is serving Krishna, because ultimately everyone is serving Krishna, some knowingly, some unknowingly, some out of love, some out of the force of material conditioning forcing them to serve the material energy, is also serving Krishna indirectly without affection. But the Uttama Adhikari, he sees the spiritual principle that everyone is eternally servant of Krishna, and out of a natural humility, he thinks everyone better than himself. It is the analogy which Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami gives in Chaitanya Charitamrita, is that a tree which is really full of ripened fruit does not stand straight, but naturally bows down. So the quality of love in a soul makes him naturally very meek and humble. And in that humility, he thinks himself the most unworthy. And the reason is that that attitude is pleasing to Krishna. Because when everyone thinks themselves the most unworthy, that nurtures a service attitude. They want to serve others. So that attitude is conducive to service. And that's why devotees feel that way as they advance in devotional service.
Also, you know, we understand the Vedas say Krishna's a person, you know, but he's not, you know, well, I know he's not, you know, he's a perfect person. People in this world are imperfect in some ways. And you know, when I think about people, they all have individual characteristic traits, and they all have things that they like, and they all have dislikes. So, you know, as Krishna, as a person with a personality and things that he likes, I mean, what really pleases Krishna the most, that he likes the most?
Love and devotion and humility. Those are the things he likes the most. And conversely, envy, pride, and false ego are the things that he dislikes the most. And you can see in your own life, when you're feeling a genuine spirit of humility, you feel that the Lord is close to you. And when you develop pride, envy, and false ego, the Lord moves far away from your life. So yes, he's a person like us. In some ways like us. Like us in that he has personality and likes and dislikes. Not like us in that he's fallible and infinitesimal. But he's a person. He has likes and dislikes. What he likes is humility, love, devotion, and cooperation. And what he dislikes is pride, false ego, envy, and conflict. So, as aspiring devotees seeking Krishna's pleasure, we serve in a spirit of humility and cooperation. Even if our false ego is giving us every reason not to, for the higher principle of Krishna's pleasure, we strive to serve in humility. And seeing others as better than oneself is very conducive to service attitude.
Therefore, based on what you said, every manager must keep the sadhaka as number one ahead. So they can serve the sadhaka who bringing in sadhana, in sadhana bhakti, and he achieves maximum on that level because he's serving the most lowest to gain the highest.
Yes. In devotional service, whatever position we're in, we are in reality servant of all others. How we express that service and offer that service is related to our position and the position of others. But the principle is always consistent. Whatever our position, whatever our service, serving others, meaning helping them to advance in devotional service, should be our primary concern. And if that's found, everything will flourish. Thank you all very, very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Yeah.